Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When someone sues you for slander, you might be fined for defaming a good name. But what's the penalty for slandering God? The commandment to not take His name in vain goes to the core of His nature and to the heart of respecting Him as Creator. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Pastor Lutzer continues his series on the Ten Commandments by concluding a message on the misuse of God's name. Taking God's name in vain is a very serious matter to the one who owns that name.
But the point is that we can dishonor the name of God. We can take the name of God in vain by saying, I'm a Christian, and then live in such a way that it is inconsistent with the name of God. And we call His reputation into question. Now let me ask you a question today. How does God respond to taking His name in vain? Is this a little thing that He takes lightly? Well, now I do want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 24, and I even think I have the right passage this time. Leviticus chapter 24, where there's a very interesting experience that took place in the life of the children of Israel. Leviticus 24, verse 10, talks about an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian. And he went out among the sons of Israel, and the Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel struggled with each other in the camp. Just see the situation. They are in a fight. They're angry with each other. Verse 11, and the son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name. What name? My word, there is only one name, and that is the name of the Lord. The woman blasphemed, that is to say, the son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name and cursed, so they brought him to Moses. Verse 12, and they put him in custody so that the command of the Lord might be made clear to them. Then the Lord spake to Moses, saying, bring the one who has cursed outside the camp, and let all who hear him lay their hands, all who heard him, lay their hands on his head, and then let all the congregation stone him. And you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if anyone curses his God, then he shall bear his sin. Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. The alien, as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. You say, well, surely God has changed his mind about this. I mean, this was Old Testament. We live in the New Testament era. May I remind you that God has not changed his mind about this one iota, not one iota. The only reason that we don't do that today, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, is because in today's world, God has allowed it or designed it that the civil authorities are not responsible for inflicting the penalty. So today we do not stone people for all of these things, but I want you to know that it is absolutely unthinkable and blasphemous to think that God has mellowed throughout the centuries. He has not changed his mind about this. And today, whether it's in the city of Chicago or wherever you may be from, in office buildings and in cars and in various relationships, in factories and wherever the name of God comes out of people's mouths, thoughtlessly, cursing either in anger or flippantly, God is monitoring those situations, and the Bible says he will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. No way. Has God changed his mind? He is just as insulted by it today as he was back then. You say, well, what is the answer then? We can curse God. We can take his name in vain by careless vows, careless speech, a careless life. What is the answer? You know what I like about the Bible is it has the ability to go right to the heart of a matter. Because if you want to clean up your mouth and you were to go to some kind of a self-help seminar, they'd say, well, you know what you do is try not to say it, and whenever you do, tell yourself that you're going to give $5 to charity, and if you do that long enough, soon you'll find out that you're giving too much money, and that'll help you to watch what comes out of your mouth, etc., etc. You know, Jesus has a totally different explanation for the whole problem. You know what Jesus taught? He said that if you want to clean up your mouth, there is a way to do it, and that is to clean up your heart. That's what he said. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, where Christ speaks specifically to this issue of good speech and what comes out of the human heart. Notice he says, in the 12th chapter of Matthew, he's talking in verse 33 about making the tree good and its fruit good, because he said that it is the tree that produces the fruit, and you can't solve the problem of a wrong tree bearing wrong fruit unless you deal with a tree specifically. Verse 35, the good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be vindicated, and by your words you shall be condemned. Jesus said the real problem with wrong speech, the real problem with evil speech is the pollution of the human heart. An evil man out of his evil heart brings forth speech like that. May I say that the evil heart is in league, actually, with Satan. And Satan wants to curse and blaspheme God. That's why one of the symptoms sometimes of demon possession is a tremendous desire to curse and blaspheme. And that explains, incidentally, why there are children that are born who at the age of 1 or 2 years curse with words they have never heard nor learned. They have never heard them, and they're coming out of their mouths under the influence of spirits that are given over to cursing God. And sometimes there are people who say, well, you know, I just blow up and I swear, but I just get it all out of my system. My friend, that is so wrong. Even recent studies, not that we look to the recent studies to find the truth, but recent studies of 2 or 3 years ago prove that that is completely false. Theories that were taught years ago about it getting it out of your system are just wrong. When you swear and blaspheme God, you don't get anything out of your system. It actually inflames your temper. It actually magnifies the problem. It never solves it, because you're dealing here with a force that is really beyond the immediate situation. And so the text says that the evil person out of the evilness of his heart brings forth evil, but a good man brings forth that which is good. You say, well, how can I have a good heart? Well, that's what Christ's death was all about. The reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross is not only that we might be forgiven, though that certainly is a great part of the story, but it isn't the whole story. The other part is that Jesus died on the cross that we might also be changed. A new heart I will give you, he predicted even in the Old Testament. He said, I will take aside that heart of stone, that heart that wants to stand against God, that heart that wants to speak against God, that heart that wants to blaspheme God. I will take out that heart of stone, and he says, I will give you a heart of flesh, a heart that is sensitive towards God. A heart that will be so sensitive that the minute an evil word comes out of your mouth, you'll be aware of it and you'll confess it right on the spot, because you'll know that you said it in the presence of a holy God. That's what Jesus is all about. He's in the business of cleaning out hearts and changing them. That's the good news of the gospel. My friend, today, I don't care how bad your language is, you do not have to go on that way. Of course, after you receive Christ as Savior and he cleanses your heart, there may still be times when these words, these bad habits come out of your mouth, but the blessed Holy Spirit who is given to you will build into you such sensitivity that soon you will not be able to speak lightly of God, or for that matter, other kinds of profane language, without being aware of it and without it defiling you within and bringing about the ability to say no to the thoughts and the intents of the heart that are distasteful to the Almighty. That's what Christ is in the business of doing. And my challenge to you today is that we who name the name of God, and I want you to know that I don't think that there's a greater honor in all the world than to be identified with the Almighty and to be identified with Christ. I mean, to me, what else, what other honor could one ever suggest? I would rather be known as a man of God than known as anything else in this wide world. And I know that you feel the same way. You would rather be known as a woman of God or a man of God than any other designation that people could ever latch onto you. But let's remember that along with the honor comes a tremendous responsibility, because we can blaspheme and we can take the name of the Lord in vain in speech, but we can also do it in life. And God wants our lives to be brought up to date with the character and the name that he's been willing to share with us. Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers. And I hope that we will act as if we are his brothers. You remember that story of Alexander the Great, who was very upset with a soldier who was a coward who ran away in battle, and Alexander went up to him and chewed him out and told him a whole bunch of things that probably would not be good if we could know what they were. And finally, Alexander was shouting at this coward and said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Alexander, sir." And Alexander even became more enraged, and he took that man and he just shook him and he said, "Either change your character or change your name." That's it. Who are you? You're a Christian? That's great. I hope everybody in your office knows it. You belong to God. You walk with the King. I'm glad that that's true. But let us remember that along with it comes the awesome responsibility of representing the God that we claim to love and to serve by our speech and by our life. Because the text says, God does not hold them guiltless who take his name in vain. Don't easily, simply, flippantly be associated with the name. Because then you have the responsibility of living up to the name. The name, the text says. And either we should ask God to change our character, or maybe we should change our name and not tell people that we belong to the King, lest we cause the world to blaspheme.
Well, my friend, today, I hope that you understand that we're talking about some very serious matters, matters that impact today, but also important for all eternity, representing Jesus Christ. I'm holding in my hands a letter from someone who has been listening to Running to Win in Spanish. Why is it that people are able to listen in Spanish? Well, Running to Win is in 50 different countries in 7 different languages because of people just like you. This person writes, "Running to Win helped me be aware of false prophets and their lies. I had tears in my eyes because of the great truth revealed in a series of messages, and it has kept my faith on track." That testimony is because of your faithfulness. Would you consider becoming an endurance partner? Here's what you can do. Go to offerrtw.com. Let me say that again. Offerrtw.com, and when you're there, you click on the endurance partner button. Or you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. Please investigate becoming an endurance partner. Right now, you can go to your computer, go to offerrtw.com, click on the endurance partner button.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding The Misuse of God's Name, a look at the third of the Ten Commandments. Next time, tune in to find out what Sunday should mean to you. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. The Ten Commandments is a 12-part series. We'd like to send you the entire series on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.